I learned Russian more like the normal way. And this is also why I can compare kind of comprehensible input with not comprehensible input, because in Russian, I understand, but I'm thinking about grammar. You know, this is the like, I think the normal way I learned it destroyed it destroyed maybe kind of the language for me, because if I want to talk in Russian, I have to think, because yeah, I think about the cases and the ending.
Hi, Sophia.
Yeah, all right. Let's do it.
How are you, Sophia? Well, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you for having me here. Yeah, it's really nice to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on. And yeah, as usual, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your background, your language background, you know, your first experiences with foreign languages, why you failed. No, just kidding. whatever you think is useful and relevant.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm from Germany. To introduce myself, I'm from Germany. And yeah, my first language is obviously German. And in school, I learned, normally in Germany, we learn English as a second language, and then we have Spanish or French as a third language. But I went to a school where I had, like, my third language was Russian.
Okay.
So, yeah, in school I learned English and Russian, like the normal kind of way we learn with grandma and all.
What? Wow.
The beautiful.
Yeah,
and I learned in the normal way, but I always was curious about, like, why it's not working so good to learn a language in this kind of way. And I'm a kind of person, if I want to learn something new, then I look at the people, and they are people who already achieved the thing I want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Then I look what they're doing and ask the people normally.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because you also want the result they have. And so, like, in my school time, I went to the people, or I asked the people, who spoke really good, like, English, what they did. And I think the most are that they answered me, yeah, I went abroad and there I learned the language, not in school.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I watched a lot of films and I read a lot of books. And so I started the same, because for me, it was always, like, so strange. And why I have to learn, for example, vocabulary for a test, and then after the test, I'm forgetting everything. At that time, I didn't know about the term comprehensible input or the concept. And so I started watching films in English and reading books I liked in English.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is how I really learned English, not in school. And I kind of quit and, like, learning vocabulary stuff. I kind of I remember, like, for example, I think we had to learn vocabulary and then write in the test. Yeah, and I think I didn't learn them. I just before the test I learned them, because I know I will forget them if I learn them, like, writing or, like, with cards and stuff. For me, this was always kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So
you memorized it. You didn't learn it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was for me really important. So I think this is how I really learned English. But yeah, and yeah, to pass the exams, you have to do this whole grammar. Yeah, it's but still sad. But I was always in kind of a conflict with myself.
Man.
But yeah, it's so, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, and Russian, it was kind of the same for me. And yeah, but I learned it kind of in the normal way in school. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, the classic story when it comes to trying to learn a language the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that it was always there in the back of your mind that this is not the way, or there's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
Basically, you just, with that sentence, you just described the entire education system. not just languages, but anything.
Like, yeah. I think.
Like you memorize thing to take an exam, you pass it, and a week later, you don't even know what it was.
Yeah. It's stupid. I think we have to change that in the future.
Right.
I think kind of maybe already it's changing. I don't know if we're, I'm not in school, but yeah.
Yeah, I think things are really slow in schools and so on. So
yeah,
we have the internet, fortunately. So
yeah, and that's good.
Oh, so was it then like after the formal education system when, like you said, it was always there in the back of your mind that something was wrong, or when you asked people that you knew that had learned the language, like you said, they always told you about, you know, watching movies, reading books, going to the country, sort of more natural things, right? Was it then when you started researching and you came across comprehensive input? Or how do you come across comprehensive input? Yeah.
No, it was like in the education system.
Right.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, I told you how I already know about, like, it's not like working for me. So I tried to do the same with Russian, you know, also to like pass my exam, because I had to speak in Russian and for I think 20 minutes in the exam, and yeah, answer questions about history of Russia and
the stress level was through the roof, right?
Yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
yeah, it was. And so I searched for, easy. Yeah, because my level of in Russian is not, it's not that like in English. And I wanted to, get better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I searched for podcasts. Easy podcast. And I came across a website, I think it's called Natural Language Resources or something like that. Yeah, it was, I think it's really cool because they have the languages and also a lot of resources, podcasts, YouTube channels, and yeah, they teach the languages. And there was a podcast, it's called Comprehensible Russian or something like this.
Yeah. So we'll link the website in the description afterwards.
I think I can also send it to you.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
It's not just comprehensible input, but this is where I found this.
Comprehensible Russian, you said?
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's I'm not sure how the name is.
Yeah, no worries.
But I listened. I think this was just my preparation for exam.
Mm.
But that was a big part, like to listen to the podcast and all the stuff. And and there was like the comprehensible way. And so from there, I also like started to, know about comprehensible input and what is it, and so this was my first contact actually, and it was in the school system, and but it kind of worked. So
it was in the school system, but you like yourself actually found a way around it. Right?
Yeah, I found a way around it, and I made the kind of
within the system, but outside of that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so after graduating, you know, it was always my dream to learn Spanish because I also danced salsa and bachata. It was my dream to travel to South America. And for that, I wanted to learn Spanish. I wanted to pass my exam and do everything, like concentrate on Russian. And after that, I wanted to learn Spanish. So, yeah, after this, I really, really, this is where I got really into the comprehensible input and what it means.
Have you gotten started with Spanish already, or are you? Do you already start with Spanish, or?
Yeah. That's all okay. I started like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, after my exam, it was my plan to travel to South America, but there was the whole Corona situation and stuff.
Right.
And I traveled to Mexico. And before that, I wanted to like speak a little bit Spanish, and you know, and I knew about comprehensible input, and so for me it was like because it worked with, and because it worked kind of for me with English,
mm-hmm.
and Russian.
Yeah.
I also wanted to try it, with Spanish and kind of make it an experience. Experimental, you know, and so and I like 6 months before I went to Mexico, I started really like learning with comprehensible input.
Yeah,
it worked so well. It was perfect.
And it's fun, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, or you know, it was so amazing because I learned also with Dreaming Spanish. You know, I think you obviously know the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And for me, I love Pablo, and it was so exciting to learn it with this.
Nice.
It was also from like the first video. I was so impressed. Because I understood like Spanish,
right? Because you were starting from scratch at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the coolest parts. Like you're starting from scratch with a language, and all of a sudden you can understand what's going on in the story, conversation, whatever it is, right? And it feels amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, like magic, kind of, or not magic, but. You know, you think it works, or you have this in mind, maybe this is working, and then it actually works, and you're, like, so impressed.
Right. Yeah, it feels like magic, because we're so used to the traditional way, it was you want to control everything. You want to know the specific words, and here, we're talking about a subconscious process, in which you don't really control things, right? You just focus on understanding the language, and like you said, magically you actually acquire the language and are able to communicate later on. Yeah, it's cool. And where are you in your Spanish journey? Like, can you communicate really well? Or
yeah, I think I can. So you know, I started like this experiment where before I went to Mexico, I started with like a 2-3 months just with videos, and then I switched to podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, for me, podcasts, I love podcasts. If you because then you can also do other things. Like, well, listening if you're driving with a bus, or like walking or eating.
Cleaning.
It's a nice way to get input, and also, yeah, it's really nice. So, yeah, I listened a lot of podcasts from Espanol called Juan. I think also for me it's really important. I like the person I'm listening to, or kind of they have the same humor, and for me this is really important.
You have to enjoy.
In general, it's important.
No, you have to enjoy, right? Yeah.
Then, you know, I went to Mexico, and also I could communicate. This was for me so crazy, because after half a year, like, I was able to communicate with the people there. And yeah, I came back and had more comprehensible input, and also, yeah, practiced my Spanish, you know, went to Spain, practiced there. Also, I know I'm like, I have friends there from countries from Latin America or from Spain, and I spoke to them in Spanish, yeah.
Yeah, it feels great.
Yeah.
And were you listening to podcasts or Pablo's videos for a long time every day, or?
Yeah, for me, I tried to, like in the beginning stage, every day I try to listen at least for an hour, or to get the input, and then, every day, so I got a good amount of hours.
You started with an hour, but then as your ability to understand got better and better, you could access other new resources, interesting resources, right?
Yeah.
You started listening for 2 or 3 hours a day if you wanted to.
Yeah. Cool.
You think, go ahead.
TV series or stuff I will, like podcasts, like interviews and other stuff. Right. If you have or you pass a stage, and then you can also listen to other stuff. Also normal things, not just comprehensible input, but, you know, like also TV series. And... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like resources for native speakers.
Yeah.
I always talk about that because, yeah, at the beginning, it's hard to listen to the language for 3 hours a day because you don't understand anything. I mean, you need resources like Femin Spanish, like you said, in which they adjust to the level you need, to your level, right? Because you're starting from scratch, right? You don't know the language. But once you get to a point in which you can understand more complex and interesting resources, like, I don't know, documentaries, podcasts, once you get to that point, it's a matter of how much time you're listening to the language. You know, if you're listening for 5 hours, the process is going to be faster than if you're listening for half an hour a day. But once you get to that point, it really depends on you, how much time you want to put in. Because again, you're going to be listening to the same type of resources that you're already listening to in your native language. So it doesn't really feel like work, right?
Yeah, and you're right. It's also, yeah, where we have or where how much time we want to spend or how much time we have, because I mean, everyone has like a life besides like we're still learning, and yeah, you're right.
Cool. And was there, after that process with Spanish, that you started your channel? Or you had the idea of starting your channel? And of course, I'll also link your channel in the title. Because you got started recently, right? But was it the inspiration from your Spanish journey that got you into starting your channel? And if you can tell us about your channel, your idea.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It was like that because, you know, I, those resources, they help me so much. So I feel like, there is content, German comprehensive content, but I think it's better if you have more comprehensive content. Because also what I work, for me, it's important, like I said before, the person that are like, teaching me the stuff or, I have to like the person. And so I thought about, I can do the same or give something back, you know, because those resources help me so much. I want to give something back. And this is why I started my YouTube channel for comprehensible input. Yeah, this is,
Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, it's like, we can never get enough of comprehensible input YouTube channels. Like, and actually, like, German is the language that I'm focusing on right now. And I started, just like you did with Spanish, I started with German from scratch. And with channels like, in your case, was Dreaming Spanish for Spanish. In my case, was like a couple of channels. I always forget, Natürlich German.
Yeah, Natürlich. Yeah.
The first one was actually Catherine Shipman. Yeah. I don't know if you know it. She's actually a school teacher. But she started posting the stories she creates in school. Like a lot of German traditional stories, but I mean, from other places as well, like the music, the musicians from Bremen, things like that. Exactly. But that's how it got started, like totally from scratch. But because she created the stories for her students, for like kids, and she does a great job, you know, she explains things slowly. Draws, a lot of context, gestures, sounds. It was comprehensible for me. And that's how it got started. And just like you did with Spanish at the beginning, because almost nothing was comprehensible for me besides those YouTube channels, I started like 15, 20 minutes a day. But once I got to a point in which my ability to understand got way better, I actually started to sort of experiment in this September, and now I'm listening to German for 3 hours a day.
Oh, nice, Dan. Wow.
Yeah. So I've been doing that for 3 months now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm confident that in a year, you know, listening to German for 3 hours a day, you know, my knowledge is just going to skyrocket.
Yeah, of course. Nice. Cool.
But it was exactly the same experience with German. And of course, I've done it with the Portuguese, Italian, French, and I'll continue to do it with other languages because it works.
Yeah, it works.
And I have fun.
Yeah. And also, I think it makes kind of sense because, like, if we watch children, they do it like we do. Like, they, first of all, they listen a lot and they get a lot of input and then they start to speak.
Exactly. And is there any resource that you use, like after, so you start from scratch with a language like Spanish, you search for comprehensible input content, and is there any type of resource that you use as well that helps you in the beginning stages of your project? Like, I don't know, like cartoons or comic books or any other type of content besides like the comprehensible input channels that you use?
Yeah, so I think for Spanish, it was really easy because there's a lot of comprehensible input.
Right.
Well, I think at the beginning, you have to, get the basics, you know, like the basic structure of the language. And for this, it was really, really easy to, with Pablo's videos and with the videos from Pablo, and because he starts from scratch, you know, this is really what I like about his channel. He has those playlists, like there, I think beginner, intermediate, advanced Spanish. And so you have like the, yeah, you have your levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the whole journey, if you want.
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, but like for Portuguese, it's now for me, because there are not so much resources out there. It was kind of hard. So I have from I think natural, like there's a good comprehensible podcast.
Okay.
He's also, I think he's recording the videos and putting it on YouTube. And for me, my trick was to slow it down, you know? Because, yeah, cartoons, I think they help, they would help, but I didn't use them. Maybe I should, this is maybe, yeah. But for me, because I understand Spanish, this was easier to get to Portuguese. But maybe if I would like learning, I don't know, Chinese or something like completely different, maybe I think I would also use something like this, like child stories or, yeah, also like, I think there are so, yeah, I think sometimes it's hard because you have also to have interest in the stuff you want, you know, and maybe you don't want to read child stories like just for children and or watch like cartoons or yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can watch cartoons for so long. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe, yeah, I think it would be the best because you need something you need to understand the stuff to get better, Anna.
Right. So you're learning Portuguese now, right? And you told me you're focusing on Brazilian Portuguese because it's easier to understand, right?
Yeah.
And because there's way more resources out there for Brazilian Portuguese in general, not just comprehensible input channels, but in general, because, well, first of all, Brazil is way bigger. But it's also because in Portugal, they don't dub movies, for example. So, you know, it's, which is a good thing for them.
Yeah, that's also in Germany, we dub everything. It's also, this is also why it made so much more sense for me. Like, also, I was always so confused by people like from, yeah, Sweden and Finland, they speak so good English.
Mm.
And yeah, I think it's also why, because there's not so much dub or like, a lot, not no dubbing, not so much. Like in Germany, everything is dubbed.
Yeah, same in Spain. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's actually the reason why in like Finland, Sweden, Norway, they speak so well. So they speak English so well.
Yeah.
Because I've talked to people from those countries, and I know sometimes we kind of have the idea that it's the education system and things like that, and I don't think that's the reason. And they told me themselves, so it's not like, because sometimes we put that system on a pedestal, and it's this. I mean, for me the easiest explanation is if you look at Portugal and Spain, their neighbors were really close, were somewhat similar in their cultures. But their English is much better than ours in general. And the explanation is exactly that they don't dub anything. So from an early age, you know, they're watching movies in English. They're watching cartoons in English, I guess. Whereas in Spain, it's like you said, in Germany.
Yeah.
That. So the explanation is easier than we think.
Yeah, you're right. And I think also, like, if we would teach, like, in school, differently.
Of course.
Then you maybe would, be able to speak after school, like, the language, really. I think also the school system is, it's a big part why we where we don't really learn the languages.
Yeah, it doesn't help. It doesn't help.
No.
Yeah, my point is that, for example, with Finland, I don't know, when it comes to education, like Finland, the school system in Finland is always regarded as like the top
Yeah.
thing, things like that. But I've spoken with people from Finland, and when it comes to languages, it's actually the same. I was going to say shit, but it's actually the same thing. It's the other things that make it different for Finnish people or Swedish or Norwegian. Not that the education system is any different.
Okay, so that's like that proves that there's something wrong, actually.
So well, obviously you've learned English, Spanish, you're learning Portuguese now. Is there any other language that you're learning that
You know, I really want to, like, for example, Russian.
Russian?
To restart and get more comprehensible input because, I learned Russian more like the normal way. And this is also why I can compare kind of comprehensible input with not comprehensible input, because in Russian, I understand, but I'm thinking about grammar. You know, this is the like, I think the normal way I learned, it destroyed my, yeah, it destroyed maybe kind of the language for me, because if I want to talk in Russian, I have to think, because, I think about the cases and the endings, and,
Yep.
maybe, I want to restart and, do it again, or get more comprehensible input, and then, I don't know if it is like reversible, you know.
I think it is. I think it is. Yeah, I totally understand what you mean. That, that process of having to think about everything you want to say, your head exploding after 10 minutes. Trying to communicate that way.
And you're questioning yourself, like, I'm doing it wrong, or is it the right way, or like, that's.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, I think it's like, I mean, pretty much the same way when I talk about my own English journey, my journey learning English, that was my journey for 15 years in the formal education system. And just like you learn Russian, that's how I learned English. I could pass the exams. I actually did, but I couldn't communicate. And it was painful when I tried to. But luckily, after that, I always talk about the fact that I had sort of had the hope that it was going to help me. But I started watching the NBA, like basketball in English, because I like the sport. And I watched the NBA in English for, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years until I came to Poland for the first time on an Erasmus exchange program. And everything was in English, like university classes, and we communicated with other friends from other countries in English. So everything was in English. And I could actually use the language. I could actually communicate after those 4 or 5 years watching the NBA in English, like a couple of hours a day, from October to June, approximately. And just like you said at the beginning, it felt like magic. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden one day you wake up and you're able to actually communicate in the language. What I mean is, throughout the process, as I was watching more and more games, I was getting exposed to the language for more and more time. I started noticing that I could understand way more than I could at the beginning, and I was starting to sort of create sentences in my head. So I had the feeling that I was already able to communicate. I just wasn't in that environment to actually use the language until I got to Poland. But I felt it was there, so it wasn't like I got to Poland and all of a sudden, boom, started coming out.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So you also use kind of something you like to, like watching MMA sports to, like, yeah.
Actually, I realized afterwards that that was the thing that actually helped me.
Yeah.
Because many times, because especially, you in Germany, or for me in Spain, English is the first language we're in contact with, and the one that we're in contact with constantly throughout the whole education system. Because we've been studying the traditional way for a long time, but then we're listening to music, we're watching sports like I did.
Yeah.
It's such a mix of things that sometimes it's hard to give the credit where the credit's due, right? Obviously, then later on, when I started learning about comprehensible input, I read Frasch's books and so on, it all made sense all of a sudden. Like, oh my goodness, like this is the actually help me. But for a lot of people, because they've done both, meaning traditional way and comprehensible input or natural way, sometimes it's hard to know, like, is this the thing that helped me, or is this the other thing? Is it a combination of both?
Yeah, because you can't measure it, like, kind of, yeah, it's difficult. But so, yeah.
When it comes to English, I realized afterwards, right? Then obviously, when I started learning other languages, I started with comprehensible input from scratch,
Yeah.
and I'm never going back, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's also, yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'm really glad I discovered the comprehensible input because, yeah, I think, well, yeah, learning a language is something that connects you with other people because it's communication and it opens you like so many doors, or just also like a new world. And the first, I think also the moment, the first time you understand something in the language is so, it's amazing because, yeah.
It's priceless. Yeah.
And also, you can read books in another language. Also, different kind of view on the world, and yeah, also like languages connected to the countries and the cultures, and yeah, I think it makes your life kind of richer. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about that with German, because like before I started learning German, it's like, nothing negative. It's just I wasn't particularly interested in German culture. Not negative, just neutral. But when I started learning German, I felt it. Like, I don't know, my curiosity, my wanting to learn more about Germany, about culture, about follow the Oktoberfest. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, like anything about Germany, I felt it. Like, oh my goodness, I'm so much interested in Germany now as opposed to just my natural attitude a few years ago.
Yeah.
And like you say, it connects people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they say this is why we have like the languages to understand each other, to tell each other stories, to write books, to share our thoughts, to sing whatever.
Yeah, and then it's like you say, it's a door to other cultures, because
Yeah.
if you don't speak other languages, your idea of Germany in this case, or any other countries, is the idea you get in your own country.
Yeah, like the originals are like
Exactly.
World War II, Bavaria,
Hey, it's Oktoberfest,
October.
exactly. And same thing with Spain, like people think Spain is parties, sun, and sangria, right?
Yeah.
And siesta, of course.
Like a funny, but also sometimes if you like, for me it was like with the reggaeton thing, like I listen, or like I like reggaeton, and then I started to understand like what they're saying, and then it was so not so nice, and then you know, sometimes it's also maybe not too good to understand everything.
No, but I think it's, yeah, I understand what you mean. I understand what
yeah, you know, sometimes, yeah.
No, it's the reverse. You might think it's the reverse, but I don't know. It opens you up for the truth, which is good. Because it's funny, because I have the same feeling with reggaeton. Obviously, I understand the lyrics from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, this is not about language, but it's, like, I really like the music, the rhythm.
The rhythm?
It gives you into a positive mood, but yeah. Then you read the lyrics and it moves.
Okay.
Maybe not so much, right?
Yeah, yeah. But this is also, like, yeah, maybe also another side from learning a language or learning.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Yeah. I'll take knowing what it means rather than being, you know, in the darkness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's like you discover the truth. It's not that.
Yeah, it's also, but it's also, yeah, it's a part of, like, everything. Yeah, it's part of the process.
Okay, so any final message, Sophia, to our listeners? You know, people who want to learn a language or people who are struggling to learn a language. Yeah, any final message?
Yeah, my final message is, like, consistency, I think. Like, every day a little bit. And, yeah, search for something you like. If you like to cook, then search for cook videos. I think maybe also cook videos or something like really easy stuff where they show you how to do things. And yeah, search for things you like. And maybe start, yeah, search for comprehensible input. But if there is nothing, then we'll search for something really easy. And yeah, also I think what helped me is slowing down sometimes. You know, if it's too fast, like they speak too fast, but you're not yet at that level or you had not enough input to understand understand everything, then maybe slow it down and yeah. Try to keep up, because it's really amazing and it opens so many doors to speak another language and to connect with other people. Yeah. Yes. Those things, and yeah, those is final.
Awesome. Like,
my final words.
I love it. Love it. Totally. Yeah. It's just, yeah, consistency is so important, but it's, I mean, both like consistency, but finding things that you like, because you know, I always talk about it. Like, I'm convinced this is the way to acquire languages, because I've seen it work in myself and other people, as opposed to the traditional way. But you're going to have moments along the way that you're going to doubt yourself, that you're going to have frustration. And it's way easier to sort of push through those moments when you're enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah, of course. I think with everything you're learning in general, consistency and like to have also something you like, yeah, what makes you joy, because this is also what I think maybe also a part of like the normal language learning process is like to correct people, like the correcting part. And I think it destroys everything, because then you get like the feeling I'm doing something wrong, I have to correct myself, and you consistently questioning yourself also. And
yeah.
I think in everything you want to learn is, yeah, if you have a bad feeling and yeah, this is blocking you from learning. This is stress, I think, is also, yeah, it's logical also. There's an explanation in biology for this. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I know this from myself. No. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like, I always talk about the fact that I don't think you can learn anything in life if you don't enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Like, you can hustle your way through it for a certain period of time, but sooner or later, you're gonna end up
like in school, like with the grammar stuff, and for a certain time, and then you don't want to continue because you don't want this feeling, like this negative feeling you have when you're learning something.
Yeah, and the process is boring and many things.
Yeah.
But this is the thing I've seen in most people, probably, like trying to learn the traditional way, that when they start out with the language, they feel super motivated. Like they want to learn the language, and because they love the language, they'd love to travel to, you know, if it's Spanish, they love to travel to South America or Spain, like you did. But then after some time of trying to learn the language the traditional way, they're not enjoying the process, first of all. It's not working because, not because of them, but because that's not the way it works. Sooner or later, you end up giving up. I've seen it so many times.
Yeah, I know. I know it's out, and I know it from other people. You see, I saw this also. Yeah. Yeah, because then you're so excited about learning something new, and then you get to the grammar and learning this kind of grammar and this kind of grammar and this rules, and you think like, why I have to do this too? Yeah, and why is it this way? I think it's not like, if you're interested in grammar, yeah, you can do it, but I think you have to have like a certain level or be really, really good at the language and already speaking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like, I think it's not good to look up like the grammar rules and stuff if you're like starting to learn the language.
Yeah, even at that point when your level is much higher,
or
I think it could be interesting just out of curiosity. It doesn't mean that it's going to help
you
actually get better, right? Just okay.
You kind of some nerd, not nerd stuff, you know, kind of like a special interest.
Yeah, because you like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You like to sort of uncover the structures of the language, whatever it is, but out of curiosity, not because you think that's going to help you acquire it, because it's not. So,
not in the part of learning a language.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. And finally, any plans for your channel for the future? Are you going to create more videos like the one?
Yeah. There will be definitely more videos, but you know, maybe yourself, like it takes time. Sure, sure. I know I'm a little bit busy, but there will be definitely. I'm also thinking about like maybe creating a podcast like in some stage, because for me this is what I like the most, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm on a certain level to just listen to interesting conversation, definitely there will be more videos.
Well, it makes sense. It's the thing that actually helped you the most and that you enjoy the most, so I'm just gonna do that, of course. Perfect. And yeah, so the idea is like you have some like videos in which you tell stories, right? Or like TPR style. Are you thinking about any other type of video or just the podcast, or
I'm not sure yet.
Like TikToks or games or...
What did you say?
I'm not like the type of content that you're thinking to create in the future. Are you going to do like more stories on the podcast, or are you also thinking about, I don't know, like filming an actual class or games? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I want to go, I want to like, see what I like, what people like,
mm-hmm.
and then, create more or less. Yeah, I want to try new things, and but I'm not sure yet. Like, I want one specific kind of video type or something. For me, it's like, if I learn a language, then I think first we focus on ourselves, you know, and maybe also we and because also we want to express ourselves, I think, and this is why I also wanted, first of all, to start like with things like what I like, you know, so like people can think about what they want to express in the language, like, because also I think if we start a language, we first of all, we focus on what we like, kind of, if you're compared to a baby, they focus on themselves and then on the outside, you know, kind of go from in to out.
Sure. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, and then get more complex and complex.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, yeah, this is my kind of what I have in mind. Yeah.
I like it.
I look
forward to listening to that podcast.
Yeah, good.
that's something that I use and that I'm doing now, like with German. There's the, you know, those like Easy German, Easy Polish.
Easy. It's like we myself as a German, sometimes I think it's fun to watch like Easy German and like see what people say.
Right. I actually love their podcast more than anything, because sometimes with the street talk, right, with they ask people, it's interesting, of course, because they're like interesting topics, but sometimes depending on the other person, it might be harder to understand with things like that. But they, in Easy German, they have a podcast with a ton of episodes, and that's perfect because they're like the two of them just speaking to each other about different topics. I love that one.
Because
they adapt a little bit to our ability to understand as non-native speakers.
Yeah.
I find it more comprehensible than the street talk.
Right? Yeah, because in the street talk, you have also people like with, maybe you don't really understand them, they speak really fast or don't pronounce some words.
I watched an episode about German beer. They did it, not me. That's
I mean, it's a big part. Actually, it's true. I mean, Oktoberfest is also a part of German culture. And you can't deny it. It's like this.
But where some people just talking about beer, like really fast, like certain words and things like that. Which, I mean, it's the actual language, but it was sometimes beyond my ability to understand.
Yeah.
All right, Sophia. So it's been great. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it was really nice. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And like I said, I'll link your channel in the description, the title and everything. And if you have a website or anything that you want me to link to, I'll also leave it down below. And yeah, especially the website that you mentioned at the beginning.
I will send it to you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you really much. Yeah, it was really nice.
Bye-bye, Sophia.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks so much for watching this interview. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was helpful for you. And if you want to know more about language learning, language acquisition, like, you know, what's the best way to learn a language, ideas for language learning, the best resources at different levels. Here, you can find the whole playlist with all the interviews I've done so far with different researchers, teachers, polyglots, and so on. And finally, right here, you smash this guy right in the face to subscribe to my channel. I really appreciate it. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.